So I want to talk to you guys about a word that we all care a lot about. And it's a word that you have a right to care about. At least the founders of our country believe that you should care about it and that it's a right for you. So when they penned the Declaration of Independence all those hundreds of years ago, there were three things that these guys said, these are rights. These are given to us. Their words were by our Creator. We believe that to be God. So God has given us these rights. And I like it because it's not just for some people, it's for all people. We hold these truths, these rights. And it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And today I want to talk to you about happiness because I believe that you have the right to be happy. And I believe that you're doing what you can to be happy. Would you agree? Right? We want to be happy. No one woke up this morning and said, dear God, give me a miserable day. I would just love to go out and my tires are flat and my coffee is decaf. I mean, it would just be great if that's how the day got started. No one said that. You all started your day off saying, okay, let's go for a happy day. Let's try to make today maybe better than yesterday, maybe better than last night, better than last year, right? We're just beginning 2018. So it's let's pursue happiness. So you have a way that you're pursuing happiness. I have a way that I'm pursuing happiness. And now I want to make an assumption right now, okay? So just forgive me. But I want to assume that the way you're pursuing happiness is probably the way I pursue happiness. It's probably the way we pursue happiness. And we is like big we, like world we. And it's this. You're happiest when you focus on you. Come on, that's the story of culture. You're really happy. You just your life is good when you're taking steps to make sure that your life is good. It's kind of our cultural way. Well, I'm going to pursue happiness by focusing on me, by making sure I'm happy. That's when I'm most happiest. And it's because that's the story of culture. It's the story of society. Right? I have two young children, 3.5, 1.5, and they're already living out that story. My son is happiest when his sister is not taking his toys. Right? I know when he's not happy because he comes running in, Cece took my toy. And so there's already this, I'm happy when I focus on me. If I tell him to share his toy, you know what he does? He gets mad. I don't want to share my toy. I don't want to help her. That doesn't make me happy. I'm like, where did this come from? It's in us to pursue happiness by focusing on us. There was a New York Times article published recently, and the title was How You Do You, that's in quotes, so that's a phrase, you do you, how you do you perfectly captures our narcissistic culture. Very long title. It's not faith-based. It's not from a religious persuasion. This is just an article that someone wrote on the New York Times. And the whole idea of the article was that we have all these sayings in culture, you do you, it is what it is. And if someone's coming against you, haters gonna hate, shake it off, right? We know the song, it's okay. Joe, you'll lead us in that in a couple minutes. But this is our culture. It's like, if someone comes against me, well, you're just hating. And I'm gonna express myself. And this is all from that article. And the author's point was that I do me so well and you do you so well. And we have all of this ammunition that if someone tries to stop us from focusing on us, well, I've got a slew of reasons why I'm happiest when I focus on me. My boys will just be boys, right? It's how we justify any behavior, any action where we are at the center of it. So if you try to tell me I'm doing something wrong and we live in high tolerance, you can't actually tell me I'm wrong. Because it is what it is. And I have the right. I have the right. We all have the right to pursue happiness. I think what we don't have right is our strategy. So you have, and the founders of this country believe, you have a God-given right to pursue happiness. It's your right. Now, all of us in this space, we have a strategy as to how we are pursuing happiness. I want to read a quote. We can throw it up on the screen here, Nick, because it was in this article, and it's just kind of what the author said. In a world where the selfie, right, selfie, has become our dominant art form, what if your you is not so good? That's a great question. Again, this isn't posed by someone who's religious, faith-based. This is just written. This person is looking at the landscape of culture and saying, okay, the selfie has become the main piece of art that we now have. So in that, Because you're you, it's me. What if, he asks, just what if? He's not saying it's not. He's just saying, what if, imagine, the version of you that you love so much is not so good as you think it is. And here's where culture's story, the story of society that says you're happiest when you focus on you, it hits a wall. You know why? Because you probably know some selfish people, and I don't think you know any selfish, happy people. Right? Come on. Who's the last selfish, happy person that you interacted with and you were like, I'm so glad Jerry's going to be there. I hope that we get food at the same time because I just want to hear Jerry talk about Jerry for a couple more hours. But you never said that. You never went to a party. If you knew someone was coming that is naturally leaning into happiness and pursuing it by focusing on them, I mean, you are hoping that the tables weren't arranged and the seats weren't set where you were going to sit next to them because you knew it was going to be a night full of listening to her talk about her, to him talk about him, or complain about how things aren't going the way that they should go to make that person as happy as possible. Look at that. So I could see by the head nods and the engaged eyes, you all know selfish people, yet you don't know selfish, happy people. Yet the story of society is the way you get happy is focus on you. There's a problem there. So the story you've been listening to for so long and that I've been listening, somehow my kids already know, and they're 3 1/2, 1 1/2, is you're happiest when you focus on you, but we all don't know people who are happy when they focus on themselves, because you don't want to be around them. So what do we do with that? And today I want to suggest a different story to you. And it's going to sound outlandish, and it's going to sound weird, and it's going to sound upside down, and it's countercultural, and it's not the story you're used to. But what if you're happiest, not when you focus on you, when you focus on others? What if the way that you should pursue happiness the best is that you start to focus on other people? Now, here's why I think you're going to agree with this. Because you've done this before. You've tried this before. Maybe even just last month, you gave to someone who was in need. Right? It was the holidays. Generosity is a little higher in our hearts, a little more on our radar. We got Santa ringing a bell everywhere. So it's like, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. Generosity is in my face. And I can assume and guarantee that when you gave, when you helped someone else out, you probably remember the feeling that was associated with it. You volunteered somewhere, you gave something away, and you can remember, man, there was something about that. There was a joy there. There was beauty there. There was happiness. I was way happier doing that than kind of acknowledging Black Friday, Black Thursday, whatever you want to call it now. It's just everywhere. Right? It was way happier for me to give than to get. I remember that feeling. You've experienced that before. But that's not the normal story that we live out. What we live out is you're happiest when you focus on you. Now, I got to throw like a warning danger sign up because there's a danger with focusing on others. Sometimes when we focus on others, we're actually focusing on us. You know, that's the awkward laughter because you know. Because you said, man, I felt good doing that. And so when Thanksgiving comes around, this is not a bad thing, but maybe your thing is, okay, we're going to serve people. Good. Why? So you can tell people you serve people. So you can take a selfie at the soup kitchen, right? I mean, it's right there. It's so funny to see that. It's like, I want to just make sure people know what I did. I just want to make sure I remember. I mean, I went out of my way, and now I have a conversation piece. What did you do this morning? You cooked? Well, I cooked for other people. Right? Like that's just what we can do. And there's something about that because here's why. If our story doesn't change, if you're just living out your you story, if you're living out the story that's given to you through culture, then you can still focus on others having you at the center of it. You can still give, you can still serve, you can still help people. You can even do some religious practices, praying for people, giving money away. But if your story hasn't changed, if you haven't taken you out of the center, even in your focusing on others, you could be focused on you. So what I want to talk about today isn't so much just an attitude shift, but it's a story shift. What's the story that's shaping your story? Is it the one presented through culture and selfies? Is it the one that says, hey, focus on you, climb the corporate ladder, do what you have to set yourself up for comfort, retirement, success, for great relationships, for financial stability? Maybe it's one that says, hey, if I just focus on others, then I get this warm, fuzzy butterfly feeling, and so I'm going to do that because it makes me feel good about me. Start to compare ourselves horizontally. Well, at least I'm not as bad as. So you need a new story. I need a new story. And today I want to give you a new story that maybe you'll consider being the story of your story. Now, we're in the third week of a series called Bring. 3 weeks ago, we started this. And in the first week, we actually looked at the story of God. Right, we saw that God's story, while associated with the words love and grace and forgiveness, and maybe for you, when you think of God, it's anger, it's fear, it's distance. We kind of threw all those words out there that our experiences could produce, and we said, what if the best word for God's story is scandal? And we saw how God's love is so scandalous in that he invites all people to know him, something that he shouldn't do. He says, no, it's not based on you. I know this isn't morally right. I know it's not legally right, but you're invited in because of Jesus. And we started this by saying, this is the story that we want to bring to people. This is the story that should change us so that we become bringers. A bringer is a person who brings a person. That's kind of the definition I've created for that. Person who brings a person. Now, last week we saw that you never know the impact your being a bringer will have on someone. We looked at a disciple named Andrew, who not many of us knew, and I kind of tricked you and said, we're going to talk about a guy named Drew. He's in the Bible. So we talked about Andrew. Andrew had an encounter with Jesus, spent a few hours with him, and in that moment said, I want to be a bringer, be a person who brings a person. And the person he brought to Jesus the next day was his brother Simon. Again, who's Simon? Jesus saw Simon and said, your name's going to become Peter. Peter went on to be one of the founders of the first church. Peter went on to validate the ministry of a man named Paul, who wrote most of what we have in our Bible in the New Testament, all those letters that are hard to pronounce and hard to find. Paul wrote those, but it was because Peter said, yeah, you're on the right track. And we kind of traced this timeline of Andrew being a bringer to us today, being impacted. Now today, I want you to see, I believe, that being a bringer is the best way for you to pursue happiness. That it's not just about focusing on others, because you could focus on others and still be about you. But when you say, I want to be a bringer, I want to be a person who brings a person to Jesus, there you are going to find happiness. There you are going to find joy. There you are going to find beauty. And here's why. Because if you keep living out the story of your life and the story that's told to you by culture, if you keep leaning into that, inevitably you may be pursuing something that while it gets you happy now, what if it stops? What if it ends? Have you ever put everything you had into something and said, once this happens, I'll be happy, and then you're not? That's the worst. Come on, you know that. You put everything into a certain career, and you think, if I could land this job, I will be content. But it's not enough. If I could just get her to say yes, go out, I know then it'll be good, and she's the one, and he's the one, and then it's not. Well, what happened? A lot of times, we put our hopes and our happiness, and we make our pursuit about horizontal things. But horizontal things end. So today, let's consider what Jesus has to say about our pursuit of happiness and how being a bringer could be the best way to find happiness. Now, if you're here today and you're saying, listen, I am not ready to bring anybody to Jesus. I'm just trying to figure out Jesus. Maybe you don't believe in Jesus. You don't believe in God first or second time here. I want you to see today that the story of God is for you. I want you to see that even though right now you're living out a story, and it might be from culture, from your experience, that you are not excluded or disqualified from being a bringer. That it's not, oh, well, I don't know Jesus that well. I never even read the Bible. I don't know any of that. There's still an invitation for you to discover happiness in Jesus Christ today. And so we're going to read the words of a man named Luke. Luke followed around with Paul planting churches. He accompanied him on kind of some church planting and missionary trips. And Luke wrote down what he saw and what he discovered from disciples who were firsthand witnesses of Jesus when Jesus was alive. And Luke writes for us about this moment where Jesus sends bringers out. Where Jesus says, hey, we got to bring people the gospel. We need to bring them my love. And so you're going to be a part of that. And man, these guys have opportunity to discover happiness, joy, and beauty. So if you have your Bible, we're going to turn to Luke. And if you don't, we're going to have some scriptures up here on the screen for you to follow along with. Luke chapter 10, we're going to jump around a little bit, but verse 1 is where we'll start. The Lord, Jesus, now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. Let me pause, because there's something really cool happening here. When you consider Jesus and disciples and followers, the number that we tend to think of is 12, right? You think, okay, Jesus had 12 disciples. One of them was really jacked up, Judas. One of them was a little jacked up, Peter, and the rest were probably jacked up too. We just don't know about it, right? Because it's just jacked up, messed up people following Jesus. It's awesome. But Jesus didn't just have 12 people. He actually had multitudes of people that followed him. And at this point, he's getting ready to send out 72. Now, here's what you need to know culturally. The Jewish people, Jesus was, believed that there were 72 nations in existence around the world at this point. This is 2,000 years ago. And Jewish people very much place priority on numbers and symbols, especially from their rabbi, their teacher. So when Jesus selects 72 to be sent out in pairs, what you've got to understand that Jesus is telling his followers, we're sending me everywhere. Isn't that cool? It's not just some random, okay, 72 looks good. Why not 74? No, 72 is better. Jesus is strategic in saying, we want to make sure that everybody understands who I am and how I love. And so we're going to take 72, and you're going to go out. And those disciples would have heard that and said, wow, this is an all-inclusive message. Now that's baffling to them because Jewish people believed the Jewish Messiah was for the Jewish people. So when Jesus chooses 72, it's like, hold on a second. Don't you mean like 12, like the 12 tribes of Israel? Isn't that what we should be focused on here? No, this is for everybody. Jews, non-Jews, everybody gets this. That's cool. Because maybe today you're here and you're saying, okay, God's story works for her, works for him. I don't know that it works for me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my story. You don't know my past. You don't know my beliefs. And I think kind of you're in a place where you're saying, I've disqualified myself from knowing God. And this is starting off right away. And you say, no. All people need to hear of my love. All people need to be brought in. All people need to know this. It's tremendous. So Jesus sends these guys out, and what does he say to them? These were his instructions to them, verse 2. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now, let me see what's going on here. Have you ever taking on a project that was too big for you? Right? Come on, you started something, you thought you could do it, and you quickly realize, oh, we're going to need some help here. That happened to me a couple of years ago when I decided I would rip up my kitchen floor and put a new one down before my wife got home from work. So I got like 7 hours. Like, I got this. Now, let me give you some context. I don't know what I'm doing with tools. Nothing at all. And just to help out, like, this was dollar store stick-on, so don't think tile. Like, this is like, just peel up, put down a new one, should be no problem. It was me and my 1.5-year-old son alone at home. I'm like, I got this. He'll just stay over on that side of the house, because that's what kids would do. And I'll take care of everything in the kitchen, no problem. So I didn't even have tools. I had a flathead screwdriver. I was like, I'm just going to pop these guys up, and we're good to go. So I start going, find out that's not the right tool. And then I realize my son knows how to walk, so clearly he's going to keep coming in here. Once I pop up the first one, I realize the people before me in the house decided the best way to do this is just to lay more tiles on top of tiles. So I had like 3 layers deep of tiles I need to get up to actually get to where I wanted to be. Big problem, big project. So what do? Call your mom. Right, that's what I did. I called my mom. I said, Mom, I need help. Like, you've got to come here and watch Nate. There's no way this can happen. I called my brother. He came over. And miraculously, by the power of God, I guess, we got the floor up and in before Amy got home. Again, it was stick-on, but it needed a lot more help than I initially thought. Jesus is looking at the 72, and he's looking at the world, and he's saying, here's what you need to do. Here's what I want you to understand. There are so many people who need to be changed by my love. There are so many people who are living out the story of you're happiest when you focus on you. There are so many people trying to discover happiness, trying to find joy and beauty, but doing their own thing. We need more bringers. We need more people who will go. And he uses an analogy they understand. Maybe not all of us or most of us would. I don't know how many of you farm, but he uses agriculture. Hey, there's a big field out there. You can't take it all on by yourself. We need more bringers. And we pause, especially if you're a Christian in this space, you believe in God. One of the prayers that I pray a lot is that people who don't know Jesus in my life would come to know Jesus. I've got family, I've got friends. They're not living for him. They're pursuing happiness by focusing on them. And I'm constantly praying, God, save them. God, may they know you. May they come to know your love. And I don't think it's a wrong prayer. I'm not going to stop praying it. But it's not the prayer that Jesus instructed the bringers to pray. Notice he said, what you need to pray is for more bringers. You, as you consider all the people, and to us today, it's like 8 billion people, you need to pray that more bringers start bringing. Here's what's cool. When you realize that being a bringer is the best way for you to pursue happiness, you become the answer to a prayer. And if you've ever had a prayer answered before, you've been praying for someone to be healed, you've been praying for something personal, you've been praying for someone to know Jesus, and it happened, you saw it, wasn't probably exactly how you wanted because God just knows more than we do, but you were like, okay, God was involved in that answer. It was a miracle. You know the joy that was there when you saw something happen. Now think, when you say, I'm going to be a bringer, you're becoming that joy to someone's prayer. That's amazing. When you realize the best way for me to pursue happiness isn't to focus on me, it's not even to focus on others so I feel better about it, but it's to realize the great love of God that is for all people, and I'm going to be a bringer, and you bring someone, there's happiness, there's joy, there's beauty. And if you have ever had the privilege of seeing someone who did not know Jesus, who now knows Jesus, because you brought, you know what that's like, man. There is joy there. Now, here's the thing. If you're a follower of Jesus, if his story has changed you, then you are a bringer. You are to bring. Now, I want to show you what this looks like. So it's a little chilly in here, and I'm going to get you moving. Are you comfortable to move? We're going to do it anyway. Now, if you're not, we're not going to drag you up here. Don't worry. And when you do come up here, you're not going to say anything. So this isn't testimony time. We're not going to push you down. No one's getting pushed around, okay? This is just, I want you to see in this moment what it looks like if all people decide to be bringers versus what it looks like if one person or a couple people decide to be bringers. So, Mike, I'm going to have you come up here and help me out, right? Here's what we're going to do. Get ready, okay? You're going to have to move, all right? It's okay. I promise. Don't be afraid. Even if you don't know people, you'll get to know them this way. Let's say, hey, you're the person who Mike grabbed, right? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have 20 seconds. This isn't long, okay? I'm going to set a timer. And Mike, in those 20 seconds, I want you to go, and I want you to just tap someone. So if Mike taps you, Mike's then going to walk with you back up here. Okay, easy. Okay, that's it. And then you're going to stand up here. No pressure. You're never going to get the mic. Okay, calm down. Now, If I come and I tap you, here's what you have to do if you're with me. I'm going to tap you. No one's going to run. And I'm going to walk with you back up here. And then you're going to go out and tap someone. And I'm going to go back out and tap someone. Now, the someone that you tap, you're going to walk them back up. I'm going to walk my someone back up. Now, there's going to be 4. Now, all 4 of us are going to get to go and tap someone. Does that make sense? You get that? So if I tap you, you come up here, you go back out and tap someone else. If Mike taps you, he brings you up here, you just stand here and look good for everybody, okay? So you want Mike to tap you if you don't want to move a lot. I'm going to tap you, you have to move, okay? Now, we're not going to drag you, so if you just sit there and your arms crossed, we will ignore you. It's all good. We want you to be comfortable in church, okay? But I just want you to see, it's 20 seconds, and I want you to see what this looks like, and then I'll kind of explain. Okay, Mike, are you ready to tap people? I'm tapping Sam first. Don't go for Sam. You go for Joe, okay? You got a warning. All right, so I'm going to do 20 seconds, and we're going to go, okay? Ready? 20 seconds. Okay, go. Come on, quick, up here. Okay, now go tap somebody. Okay, you can go tap somebody. Okay, you can go tap somebody. Go back up. Keep going. Okay, I'm going to tap you. Okay, the timer stopped. So if you're on your way up, you're good. If you were tapped by me, come over here. If you were just tapped by Mike, you can stay up here if you were tapped already. Okay, so Mike, who did you tap? How many did you get? Oh, we got you guys too? Look at that. Wow. Good Lord, we won. Okay. It's not about winning. It's church. Okay, so just stand for 1 second. I'll have you go back down. So here's what's going on. A lot of times, if you're following Jesus, what we believe for some reason is that some people are bringers, but not all people are bringers. You know who's the bringers? The good speakers, the pastor, the ones who read the Bible. I mean, those guys, they should bring. But this is what it looks like if only a few people decide to be bringers. This is what it looks like if we understand that what Jesus was saying, your pursuit of happiness, you are most happy when you bring people. This is what it looks like. I want you to think. In our space, if every person was to say, okay, you know, I'm going to bring one person. This year, I'm going to focus on just bringing one person out of 365 days. The impact would still be this. It's dramatic. Thank you guys for standing up here. You did an excellent job, all of you. We can clap for them. Look at that. You know what that was over here? It was beautiful. You know what that was? It was ugly. Not the people. The method. The method. You guys got your minds. Here's why. It's beautiful when you see that the pursuit of happiness is in you saying, more people need to know God's love. More people need to know how much Jesus loves them. More people need to know this. Not just more, but all 72, all people. Now, there was a man named Paul who understood this very well. He's the one who traveled around with Luke. Paul was on a mission to stop that from happening. That was kind of his goal in life. Don't let more people know about God's love. But in his pursuit of happiness, focusing on him, God intervened. Jesus came into the story, and his story changed. And Paul writes for us in the book of Romans, God's plan for all people to know Jesus. And I want you to see what it looks like. Romans chapter 10, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him? They have never heard about him. How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. So Paul, as he considers God's plan for all people, because all people get to hear this, for all people to hear of God's great love, he says, this is what it looks like. And I kind of put it in a one-image graphic for you to see. So he says this, we go up there, God sends people, bringers, I put that word in there, but that was a servant's word. Bringers go, bringers tell, people hear, hearers believe, believers call, callers are saved. That's kind of what Paul is saying. This is what the plan of God to bring Jesus to all people, this is what it looks like. Now here's the problem. If this were a chain, there is one link that if it breaks off, the rest of it falls apart. Remember, this is God's beautiful plan to bring Jesus to the world. Could have done anything. Paul says this is what it looks like. And there's one part in this that if it doesn't happen, if the chain breaks, the link breaks, the whole chain collapses. And I want to read to you a page out of a book called Radical by David Platt. Because I think he kind of summarizes it best. And for me to just kind of break it down doesn't do it justice to what he said. I want to read you this page because he looked at this, saw that. Here's the chain. Here's the link. And he says, look back at this progression and ask one question. Is there any place where this plan can break down? Think about it. Obviously, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. No breakdown there. Everyone who believes will call. Many who hear will believe. People will hear the gospel when we preach it to them, and God is most definitely still in the business of sending his servants, or for our context, bringers. That means there is only one potential breakdown in this progression when servants of God do not preach the gospel to all people. Or for us, when bringers don't bring. When we say, it's not me, it's them. That guy, he's good at it. I mean, he just gets around people and people want to go to church. They want to know Jesus. But me, I mean, I don't know I can do that. That's the point. A breakdown. He writes this. I love it. We are the plan of God and there's no plan B. Of course, God has the power to write the gospel in letters across the clouds so that all people can learn about Jesus and believe in him. But in God's infinite wisdom, he has not chosen this route. Instead, he has chosen to use us as ambassadors who carry the gospel to people who have never heard the name of Jesus. That's beautiful. Think about that. This is what Paul, this is what David Platt is summarizing. This is what Jesus was telling those 72. It's not that you're one of many ways that people will hear about me. You are the way people are going to hear about me. That's cool. There's a book in the Bible called Acts that kind of gives us church history when the first church started and people started coming to Jesus. Do you know that there's not one instance recorded for us where a person comes to know Jesus without a human being involved in the process? There's not one time where someone just has this moment of, okay, there's God and there's no humans involved. Even Paul, when Paul had an encounter with Jesus, there was another man named Ananias who came alongside him and said, okay, this is what you need. You need Jesus. That's exciting. That's happiness, that you get to focus on others because the story of God is so great. So the question is, why in the world don't we do it? Come on, why then? If this sounds so good and man, we're in church and we're fired up and you just walked up to the front, you didn't cry or anything, you walk back down, this sounds great in here, but what happens out there? Why don't we do it? We don't do it for the same reason 2,000 years ago people didn't do it. See, when the 72 came back, look at what they said to Jesus. Look at this. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully, there's our joy, returned to him. And they reported, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Why are they so excited? Who are they focused on when they get back to Jesus? Them. They get back to Jesus, and the most exciting thing to them is, we cast out this demon. It was crazy. Jesus, you should have been there. Did you know we could do that? Look at how great we are. Because the story of society is you're happiest when you focus on you. But Jesus, in his love for them and for you, is not content with you focusing on you because he knows it doesn't end well. And look what he says to them. Don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Man, that's a verse. Right? If I was a church I grew up in, you know how many amens would have just came through? I grew up in a very strong Pentecostal church growing up. Your names are registered in heaven. You want a reason to be happy. You want a reason to rejoice. It's not just by focusing on others because it makes you feel good about you. Your reason to rejoice, your pursuit of happiness should be based on this one truth. God knows you. Jesus died for you. You are not living out your story anymore. You are living out the story. We call it the gospel, the good news of God rescuing people from themselves, of saying your sin is going to be dealt with at the cross because of Jesus. Rejoice because your name is registered in heaven. And when you understand that truth, when you realize how loved you are in spite of how sinful you are, there's no way you cannot be a bringer. I would go to say this. If you're struggling with bringing, what you need to understand more of is the love of God. You don't need tactics and strategies and things like that. You need to just sit down and say, hold on a second. My name's registered in heaven? And I don't deserve it? And I did nothing to earn this? And I get to tell people about this? That truth changes us. Now today you're here and you're not a Christian. You would never check off Christian if there was a survey. You're seeking God. You're exploring faith. I want you to realize that the story of God is for you and that you don't need to pursue happiness by focusing on you. And there's something in you that knows, because you've never met a selfish, happy person, that that's not the best way to do it. That that's not the most fulfilling and the most life-giving way for you to pursue happiness. And because Jesus sent out 72, you are invited to know Jesus today. It's not some, it's all. It's not the good, it's not just the bad, it's not just the rich, it's not just the poor, it's not one race, one gender. It is all people invited in. And if today you want to take a step towards discovering that love and that story changing, you're saying, okay, what do I need to know next? How do I discover God? That gray card, grab it. There's a spot that says Discover Jesus. And today, January 14th, 2018, take the step towards discovering God's love. Don't live for you. Don't pursue happiness that way. Grab that card, fill it out, give it to me or drop it in a box. That's so this week I can celebrate with you. You're saying, I'm taking a step towards Jesus. What does the next thing look like for me? Now, if you're following Jesus, you're a bringer. You are a bringer. And that's exciting. And there's joy there. And Paul said, how beautiful are those feet? I'm not a fan of feet. Paul was. But he said, those feet are beautiful. Those feet, they don't smell. Those feet that bring the gospel, they are beautiful. And so you want beautiful feet, right? You want to know What the pursuit of happiness looks like, Paul says, it's in bringing people Jesus. It's in bringing people to Jesus. Now, next week, January 21st, next Sunday, we're starting a new series here called Home. And it's all about what's going on in our homes. There are people in your life that are wondering, how can my marriage get better? How can my parenting get better? How can I love differently? And the whole idea is we want to live lives that please God and are actually attractive to other people. That's kind of the sticky statement of this. 4 weeks we're going to spend looking at our homes. Next Sunday is a great Sunday to bring someone. It's a great, because you have people that are wondering, how can I love better? How can my marriage get better? All those things. Next Sunday is a great Sunday for you to be a bringer. I said this week you have a rhythm card there. That rhythm card is designed for you every day this week to use your normal rhythms when you wake up, when you're around a table, when you're connecting with people, to implement what we're discovering in community on Sunday. And so I'm excited for you this week because I know you are going to pursue happiness in a way like you never have. For some of you for the first time, some of you for the first time in a long time. It's been a long time since you invited, since you brought. And now every day you're going to be reminded, hey, I have a rhythm and this is what I'm going to do. And next Sunday, we are going to celebrate as people enter this space, and it's going to be beautiful, not ugly. It's not going to be some, it's going to be all people grabbing on and saying, people need to know God's love. Amazing. Let's pray together, and we'll head out. Heavenly Father, thank you that you saw us in our state, and you brought Jesus into this world for us. Thank you that you sent him here so that we could be brought into relationship with you. I thank you that this is not for some, this is for all. And that all who come to know you get to be an answer to prayer. We become bringers who bring people to Jesus. I pray this week as we live out our life rhythms that every single one of us, maybe for some we consider it, maybe for some we implement it, but that we would give you opportunity to speak to us, to show us who to bring. Because there are people who need to know your love, because there are people who are living for themselves, and it doesn't end in happiness, it doesn't end in life, it doesn't end in joy. But we know Jesus, and we want him to be known by others. We thank you for this great opportunity. We thank you that we are not one of your plans. We are not a plan B. We are plan A, to bring Jesus to this world. May that excite us. May we be filled with joy, happiness, and beauty. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.